Revelations about the U.S. government's covert surveillance apparatus has been the focus of attention in American media and around the world since the British Guardian newspaper and the Washington Post released previously unknown details of the massive collection of phone and internet communications. The disclosure of this top-secret information, sent to Guardian journalist and civil liberties advocate Glenn Greenwald, was made by Edward Snowden, a 29-year-old former technical assistant for the CIA and recent employee of the government defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton. It was Greenwald who first broke the story about the National Security Agency's program that secretly collects phone data from millions of Verizon customers. The Guardian published an order by the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which granted the government unlimited authority to obtain the data of phone calls made within the U.S. and between the U.S. and nations abroad for a three-month period. Through information provided by Snowden, a second story soon broke detailing the NSA's PRISM program, which collects data directly from the servers of the nation's nine largest internet companies, including Microsoft, Yahoo, Google, and Facebook. Obama administration officials and legislators serving on congressional intelligence committees assure the public that the government's data mining programs are legal, subject to checks and balances, and necessary to prevent future terrorist attacks on America. But critics declare that President Obama has institutionalized the worst aspects of President Bush's warrantless surveillance program with little meaningful oversight and open to serious abuse. Your reporter spoke with Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild, who explains her alarm and opposition to the government's massive domestic spying program.
I think this week has been incredibly important, and in many people's eyes, Mr. Snowden is a hero, joining what seems to be a growing list of whistleblowers. And I think the reason we're seeing more whistleblowers, both by either former government employees or contractors, as he is, and we have what I think is really a burgeoning state of handing government intelligence functions over to large either military contractors or corporate entities that do the work for the government in many cases. I think that the level of secrecy that President Obama has engaged in, classifying, thousands more documents than any other president, prosecuting more whistleblowers than any other administration, really controlling the flow of information and setting examples of individuals who dare speak out, issuing subpoenas against Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists, and really, I think, sending the message that so-called national security really trumps the fundamental cornerstones of a democracy, which is a free press. So what seems to be happening is, as individuals either working in the private security industry, contracting with the government, or becoming disillusioned with government policies, are feeling that it's their personal responsibility to share this information, knowing they run the risk of prosecution and, in many cases, heavy charges, either under the Espionage Act or facing life in prison, a la Bradley Manning, for example.
Heidi, I wondered if you respond to the many claims we're hearing from Intelligence Committee members in the U.S. Senate and the Obama administration itself that says that this communications data is only stored until needed to investigate and prevent terrorist attacks or other harm to the American people. They say it's all legal and there are checks and balances in place under the FISA court that I guess reviews this massive collection of data every 3 months. Respond to that if you would.
Well, look, I think we're going to hear a lot of conflicting messages from spokespeople, both from the administration and from corporate entities. And we have to remember, sort of looking at this from afar, that after the events of 9/11, the Patriot Act was rushed through. Many members of Congress hadn't even read it. Some still don't seem to understand portions of it. And I think that the words, the risk of terrorism, have become sort of carte blanche for the government to really prey on the fears of a public that seems to believe that things like additional security cameras and invasion of privacy is what we need to have to secure our safety. And it's simply not true that we have to give up our civil liberties for safety. We can have both. We can balance them intelligently. For example, we know with the PRISM system, I think it's something like only 51% of the data has to be sort of tied or assumed to be tied to foreign intelligence. Now, that really goes against why we have the FISA court and why we allow a certain amount of monitoring through a secret court that I understand rubber stamps most of the requests that it faces. Those are supposed to be monitoring foreign individuals. And what we have now is the notion that we're having wholesale monitoring of Facebook, Google, all of the, you know, new media, as well as stored communications, too, which is frightening to think that, you know, a couple of years from now, the government, in partnership with corporations, can retrieve information that we're sending right now. And I think put a slant on it so that if they suspect someone or disagree with someone's political viewpoints or you have an outspoken activist, I think it's very frightening to have the specter that the government can then go back and put sort of what angle they want on things that we might be writing now. So I think we're getting confused messages because I think so much secrecy really guides and informs the relationship between corporations and the government. And a lot of corporations and a lot of individuals are bound by secrecy when they are asked for this information.
In the wake of these revelations, there's a lot of discussion from the massive surveillance systems defenders who say that the Boston bombing, for example, we needed to have all this information collected so that we could trace any other people involved in that Boston Marathon bombing, check all the phone records. They're already saved. They're already archived. And all the authorities would have to do is look through them and make a connection and possibly prevent a terrorist bombing somewhere. Is there a legitimate use, in your view, for these systems, possibly with more checks and balances, to protect people's privacy and abuses?
Of course. These are wonderful tools. I think the difference is instead of gathering everything before there's evidence that a crime may be afoot, I think the Boston example is you get your warrants, you do your basic investigative detective work, and we have some fine law enforcement officers that should be able to do that, but you don't anticipate crimes before they occur. That's what seems to be the trend of sort of preemptive policing. Instead of assuming that everyone is innocent until proven guilty, we seem to have this vague suspicion that, well, everyone is a possible criminal. And that's really turning on its head our fundamental system of values and the constitutional amendments that protect our personal liberties.
That was Heidi Boghossian, Executive Director of the National Lawyers Guild and author of the book Spying on Democracy. Find more perspectives on government domestic surveillance programs by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.